Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to listen to episode number 10 of the Retro Rewind podcast.
Retro Rewind systems initialized. Mission identified. Mission impossible. 1996. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Welcome, everyone, to the podcast where we look at movies and video games from 15 or more years ago and let you know whether they're worth revisiting today. My name is Francisco Ruiz. I am a dad, a designer, and a diabolical mastermind. Okay, maybe not so much that one. But
in that order?
Yes, in that order, exactly. That's the lowest one. And I am joined, as always, as you just heard, by my good friend, Paul Powers. How are you doing today, Paul?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing okay for the most part. Thank you.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And your question this time around is, do you prefer Legos or Mega Blocks?
Legos.
Okay.
Oh, the Mega Blocks, the big like clunky ones for like preschoolers?
No, those are Duplos, which are made by Lego.
Then what did you say?
Mega Blocks are essentially like kind of like a generic or off-brand of Legos. They're the same almost kind of size brick, but not quite.
Oh, like Connects or something like that? Like wannabe? A generic. Okay.
Yeah,
so why not go for the name brand? Yeah.
Well, if you want like a Halo set or some other video game kits, they only come in Mega Blocks.
Oh, but oh no! What I saw in Lego, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I have not seen that. I'll have to look for that. But tonight is not about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and we are being joined by
April O'Neil.
That would be very cool.
Oh,
but no.
Geez.
Actually, have April. Yeah. Let's get April on this show. No, we are joined by my wife.
I suddenly have to step out now that I've been demoted.
Oh, I thought you were April. Sorry.
You've heard her twice so far before on the podcast. My wife, Christy Ruiz. Thank you for coming on the podcast tonight. And Christy, I don't think I've ever asked you what you do, or can you share that?
You don't
know
what your wife does?
For the listeners.
Oh, okay.
I'm asking for their benefit.
I lay on the couch all day long and eat bonbons, because isn't that what every stay-at-home mom does?
Oh, sweet. Where can I sign up for that?
I'm a stay-at-home mom. I don't do much of anything.
Well, all right.
Chase after our one-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. With that, let's go ahead and get into our new tube segment. Alice, please engage the new tube.
New tube systems engaged.
All right. Christy, let's start with you. What is new on your tube? And again, for those who this may be their first time with the Retro Rewind podcast, this is where we share contemporary movies or video games that we've watched and whether we think you should watch them or not.
I'm cracking my own self up over here.
No worries.
What is new on my tube? We went in on a double date to Cinetopia and watched, I think it's Olympus Has Fallen.
You don't remember?
Of the movie.
Oh.
I actually had never heard of it, but my friends were like, let's go to Cinetopia and watch this movie. And I was like, what's it about? They're like, I don't know.
That's so cool. There's a giant place of sin called Cinetopia.
Paul, you are interrupting my name.
Oh, sorry. That's fascinating. It's like, you know what? This is going to be like Pleasure Island. We're going to call it Cinetopia.
Cinetopia, not S-I-N.
Oh, like cinema. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like Cinnabon.
Oh, my goodness. My turn.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. Anyway, it's basically my friend was like, the president gets kidnapped. I don't know. So without too many spoilers, that happens, and then other things happen, and it's a big bloodbath. It's what it is. It's like Die Hard for the 21st century.
Oh, cool.
And I say it's very much a guy's guy movie where I don't believe that we need to own it or watch it again. And it was a good double date, but there wasn't much substance to it to watch it again, unlike other movies I enjoy watching over and over again.
Would you want to watch Die Hard over again? Because you said it's like the Die Hard of today, so I'm curious.
If it was on TV and there's nothing else to watch, I would knit while, quote, watching it, which really isn't watching. Paul, what is new on your tube?
Oh, why, thank you for asking. Nothing. It's all reruns. No, but this past week I was going online and watching a lot of TED Talks.
Nice.
The videos, and I have yet to see one with Ted actually talking. But actually, I was looking for inspiration for this book that I'm writing, a novel, and one of the stories or one of the TED Talks that was really inspiring was from Andrew Stanton, and he basically talks on how to write a story, and it's really – he was the one of the filmmakers from – Pixar. He worked on Toy Story and WALL-E, and the TED Talk. I would really encourage it, especially anyone who's interested in writing a story. I go ahead and listen to this, but there he does use a little bit of language in there, which is kind of shocking coming from the Pixar people. But anyway, yeah, go ahead and check that out if you haven't already.
Very cool. And that's just at TED.com, right? No, I'll have the links in the show notes, of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah, TED.com. It's in the... Yeah, sorry. I was going to give you the URL, but it's so long. Never mind.
It'll be in the show notes.
There you go.
Francisco, what is new on your tube?
Thanks for picking up the slack where Paul failed.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. On my tube, I also have, I looked it up, is Olympus Has Fallen. Good job on getting that right, hon. And I would actually recommend it, especially if you haven't, well, I would recommend it if you are a fan of Die Hard. So just like Chrissy said, it's very much a Die Hard of today. And it is very violent. I would say, though, it's probably, the violence is more realistic insofar as movies and visual effects nowadays are more realistic than they were when Die Hard came out. Mm-hmm. But the level of violence, I would say, is the same. It just seems realer. So it's a little, so in that realm, it's more extreme.
Mm. The same as Die Hard?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant just overall the same. I'm like, same as what? Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron?
Yes. That train falling down that cliff is... intense.
Spoiler. Did you ever see Lockout with Guy Pearce?
I wanted to.
No.
Did you?
Yeah, Val and I actually saw it recently a couple weeks ago.
That could be on your new tube next time.
Could be, but...
this is not related to what we're watching.
Because it's kind of like the Die Hard, you know, go in with, you know...
Mission Impossible is an action-packed movie.
Oh, well, really? Let's talk more about it.
Thank you, Paul.
Alert, alert, target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
This is Ethan Hunt. They're dead. My team is dead!
Simple game. Four players. X-Fill opens the pocket. Cyber Ops loose.
Ben.
I'm F-Mate.
Chrissy, since probably we won't... It's kind of hard to tell what was going on in that TV spot we just played. Will you please read the synopsis for Mission Impossible?
Yes, located on imdb.com. written by a wonderful man named John Wiggins. Oh, John. Based on the hit TV series, Jim Phelps was sent to Prague for a mission to prevent the theft of classified material. His wife, Claire, and his trusted partner, Ethan, were members of Phelps's team. Unfortunately, something went horribly wrong and the mission failed, leaving Ethan Hunt the lone survivor. After he reported the failed mission, Kittredge, the head of the agency, suspects Ethan of being the culprit for the failed mission. Now, Ethan uses unorthodox methods, which includes aid of an arms dealer going by the name Max, to try to find who set him up and to clear his name.
Thank you. And I'm so glad you read that, because I totally would have said, was sent to Prague for a mission.
It's kind of like a spaghetti sauce. Yeah.
Oh my. Paul, will you please tell us what sort of technical details went into making Mission Impossible?
Yes, Mission: Space Impossible came out 17 years ago in 1996, so it does meet our criteria.
Sweet.
Oh my gosh. 15
years. It came out on the 22nd of May of 1996. It's directed by Brian De Palma. Writers include Bruce Geller, who worked on the original TV series, and David Koepp, and a couple more writers. It stars Tom Cruise and John Voight and Emmanuel Beert. I guess that's how you pronounce it. There's a little and some other people like Jean Reno and Ving Rhames and little Emilio Estevez there in the beginning too.
Let's fly! Oh,
with the Mighty Ducks there, yeah. It's rated PG-13 for some intense action violence. And the budget of this movie was an estimated $80 million.
Whoa.
And the gross for the USA by the end of 1996 was almost $200 million.
Whoa.
Wow.
Good job, MI. Yeah. M colon I.
Yeah.
Just a quick digression. It seems like in the sequels, it was like M colon II and M colon III.
Yes.
So is that like Mission Impossible, Impossible, Impossible?
No. The I is actually a one. In that case, it's Roman numeral.
No.
Anyway. This is another discussion.
Yeah, totally not a discussion worth having. But you know what is worth talking about are our memories, specifically our vivid memories of Mission Impossible. And I'd like to kick it over to Christy first. When I brought up us doing Mission Impossible, what was like the first thing that popped into your head?
Hey, I liked that movie. I owned it on VHS.
Nice.
That's the first thing that popped into my head. Do you want me to list the other vivid memories I had?
Sure.
Okay. I remember specifically, prior to watching the movie, the train ride, the chick, the breaking down of the light, the way he breaks the light bulb.
Oh, yeah. You remembered that? Which chick? There are
Claire,
several chicks.
Claire.
Okay.
I just call her the chick because she bothered me. Late Everyone chick. Dying and Job.
Job 314.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, many, many more significant things came to my memory as we were watching, and I was like, oh.
Well, let's talk about a couple of those, though. How did you feel about... what annoyed you about Claire, actually? I'm curious.
It might be the actress. I don't really know. She reminds me of the chick from The Shining.
Oh, I've really never seen that.
All right.
You have to see The Shining.
I know it stars Olive Oil from Popeye.
Yes. Yeah,
that's the chick you're talking about?
She has a bat in her hand in The Shining. Digression here. Anybody can fast forward to this spot. But
like a flying? Oh, no, you mean like a baseball bat.
And is it Johnny, Jack, whatever his name is?
Jack, yes.
He's coming after her, and she pokes him with a baseball bat and whines about it. Get away from me. Get away from me. And she's poking him with a baseball bat.
Well, some women are like that.
Oh, come on. A baseball bat in your hand and you poke somebody with it?
Yes. I know of a couple women off the top of my head that
we
would
react
that
way. We are not
talking
about you, Paul. We are talking about what I'm talking about.
All right. Continue.
No, don't bring real life experience into this, Paul.
I'm just saying that Claire, that she reminded me of that, especially that part where Ethan's all like, throwing her up against the bed. He's all like, where were you? You were dead. She's like, 4 a.m. Oh, 400. 4 o'clock. We're supposed to meet here at 4 a.m. Oh, 400. Oh, 400.
So she wasn't that trained of an agent. When her whole team goes bye-bye, she succumbed to her emotions rather than to react.
Oh, I'm just done like her. She bothered me. That's my vivid memory. Leave me alone. I'm not judging you.
I'm just trying to clarify. Okay.
That's completely fair.
I'm just kidding.
She didn't really bother me much. Did she bother you at all, Paul?
No, I thought she was great.
Cool. She's really one-dimensional, but then again, so is all of Mission Impossible.
Oh, wow. Don't reveal anything too quickly here.
Speaking of revealing things, let's go ahead. I, again, forgot to do this right at the start, but what were our predictions for whether Mission Impossible would be classic or second class? Paul, let's start with you.
Classic. I mean, it spawned 4 or 3 sequels so far, probably more.
So, okay. So if it's so successful, it must have been a classic. How about you, Christy? What did you think?
When reminding me what notes to take, you forgot to remind me to write that down. So on the spur of the moment, I guess a classic?
Okay.
No.
I thought, actually, and we'll get into this in a little bit, that it was probably going to be second class for me because I remember not enjoying watching it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And we'll get into that in a few moments. But okay. Paul, let's go ahead and hear some of your vivid memories of Mission Impossible.
Vivid memories. The way at first you said, we're going to do this immediately. Tom Cruise and his team, not his character name, but Tom Cruise, because he's basically Tom Cruise in every place.
Pretty much.
So basically Tom Cruise and his team, they all get shot up and dismembered. And Tom Cruise, he hires a new team to infiltrate a building. That's
right.
What I remembered.
Well put. Anything else?
Oh, I have more memories, but okay.
But that is the first thing that came to mind. Yeah, for me, what I remember most vividly, well, so there are two things. I'll just start with the first one, was that I remember watching the trailer for this, and you probably couldn't tell is in the what we just heard for the TV spot, but it's this the part where Tom Cruise, there's this explosion in the tunnel, and he flies toward the camera onto the train.
Oh yeah,
and I remember seeing that and thinking, man, this movie looks so amazing. I can't wait to see this.
Oh,
and I went to see it, and I remember being utterly confused through most of the movie. And I
like Sixth Sense.
I wasn't confused through Sixth Sense, but sure, if that confused you, then yes.
Wow.
But I was just, I did not understand what was going on.
You know, you weren't the only one. I mean, I understood what was going on, but I had friends that I watched it with and they didn't understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. So
that's why I bought the videotape.
Just to watch it over and over again.
Yeah,
I will unravel the mystery.
What was going on either.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm not in I'm in similar company.
Yes.
Except
you're
for
not
Paul,
alone.
Who got right at the start. Yeah. In fact, just watching it this time, I was the first time I realized, Kittredge thinks Ethan Hunt, Tom Cruise's character, is the mole. I did not get that.
Well, that's
all
kind of key. Viewing,
right?
Yeah.
Why are they going after him? What did he do? All of a sudden, they like, we're glad you survived. Okay, now we need to bring you in and try to take you down.
Yeah.
Like, what
they
is
don't
going
spell
on?
Things out, which is very frustrating.
Why is that frustrating? Movies are supposed to treat us like we're two?
Some. Have
well,
you seen Care Bears movie?
This movie actually, this movie very much treated us? Is that a word? Treated us like we were too because of all the upward shots of people's faces. I feel like I'm too looking up at adults. Watch the movie. It'll be funnier.
Jeez. Can we add a soundbite of crickets after that horrid joke?
No.
Oh.
So you said you had more memories, Paul. Or yeah,
yeah.
You said you had more memories. What were some of those?
Like favorite pulling, in particular. Pulling the mask off the face with it being one person and another.
I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, probably the most famous scene is when Tom is being lowered by the rope and the rope snaps or whatever, yes. And he falls and like an inch away from the floor. Mm-hmm. And then that was like copied off of like many other like parodies and even in cartoons during the time.
Totally.
That scene right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't remember the him jumping from the explosion of the helicopter, but I did remember like the helicopter landing the blade an inch away from his face when they stopped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
Did any of those, were any of those memories similar to what you had, Christy?
No favorite memories?
Yeah. But I'm curious if
no, I didn't remember any of that.
Oh, okay.
When you asked me to write down things, all I could remember, the first thing that popped in my mind was I owned it on VHS.
Uh-huh.
I used to run around my dorm playing the Mission Impossible theme song.
Nice.
Holding yes.
a pretend gun with all the other girls running around different corners and going dun, 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 dun. And
that would have been so cool. I never saw any girls do that in my dorm. Did you, Francisco?
No, I did not.
We were in the same dorm. That's why.
So when you told me to write down my favorites, I wrote, I don't remember favorites, just that I enjoyed it. I owned it on video, so I must have liked it enough.
Yeah. Well,
and then I remembered my favorite was the theme song because I played it over and over and over and over again.
It is quite the catchy theme song.
I really am frustrated, though, that when I was watching the movie, all these things
sort of flooded in my head.
The rat, the rope, the guy barfing, the knife, the magic trick, the gum. What are we going to do, Barnes? Put a man at every airport? Like, me and my friend used to quote Kittredge all the time. What are we going to do, Barnes? And I didn't remember any of that. It made me so upset. I was like, oh, I remembered like most of the movie as soon as it started playing.
That's what's so cool.
Yeah. You know,
rewatching these.
I had a very similar experience with, I think it was either Anne of Green Gables or Flight of the Navigator. Me and Christy watched it together. You remember how I was like, oh my gosh, I learned to put on my shirt from that guy.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, all these things flooded back that I had forgotten. But yeah, just like Paul said, that is a fun experience of rewatching these movies.
Toast. Toast.
Toast? Oh, yeah.
Toast.
Which is one of the things that I found, even after rewatching it, confusing.
Hmm.
Like that part where he said toast and it hit red, you know, because with the rope, when you were bringing them up and it was hitting red and they were yelling toast, but the alarm didn't go off.
Yeah. It happened at the same time.
Well,
It happened at the same time. I owned it on VHS. I watched it many, many times.
All right, I'll defer to you, but
I'll just straight up disagree. That's all right.
If you pick at a thread, then the whole entire thing unravels, and I don't know why you insist on picking at threads that don't need to be picked at.
Pull the sweater. The whole thing will unravel.
You know what? I'll start singing. I'll start singing.
So, Francisco, did you have any memories?
I did.
Your memories aren't valid.
Wow.
Just kidding. Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
You pretty much said I wasn't valid at the beginning of this podcast.
I remember, like, similar to Paul, the face thing and remembering that how it was so cool. And I never really could tell if it was Tom Cruise being, like, in makeup when I watched it before. This time it is a lot more obvious. But Tom Cruise in makeup or if it was the actor he was pretending to be in. Yeah. As just playing himself or playing Tom Cruise playing himself or
herself. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always thought that was really cool. And then the quintessential peeling the face off to reveal that's Tom Cruise the whole time. Yes. Face off as Chrissy's gesturing. Wrong movie though. And then let's see other favorite parts. I think the wire thing again. I mean, those were sort of the big set pieces of the movie that were fun.
Yeah.
And I thought Ving Rhames' character throughout the whole series has been just a fun character.
Yeah.
I forget his name though now. It's eluding me.
Isn't it Luther?
But I think you're right. I think it is Luther. Though I think, given he seemed a lot more stacked, quote unquote, than the other guy, John Renee. So it seems like he would have been better in the vent holding Tom Cruise's character.
He couldn't fit in the vent.
Well, okay, maybe that's the case. But
also the knife.
Oh yeah, I guess you do need that knife to sort of trigger Tom's memories about who might have killed the one girl. I forget.
Plus, he couldn't hack into the system with up there in the vent. He had to be at the.
But yeah,
he was the computer hacker.
All of it was. I mean, it was all a device for having it be a lot more of a tense scene. If everything went off to according to plan, then it'd be like, that's fine. Cool.
So my question to you is, how did he kill that rat?
When did he kill the rat?
When you come back, when you hear all that noise and you look up again and he's trying to bring Tom up.
Uh-huh.
The rat's dead by his head.
You want to know? Yes. You want to know what bothers me the whole time I've ever seen this movie?
I've never noticed that.
The rat would not have rigor mortis. It would not be sticking up like that. It was stuck up like that so that you could see that the rat was dead, but it would be a limp, floppy body. You could like bang it around.
I didn't even notice the rat, guys. But something I did notice that sort of annoyed me was the poorly formatted emails he kept sending. Or email at Job3:14 will not go anywhere. What is
the
deal?
It's the CIA, man.
Well, back then it might have. I don't remember. I do remember the alt user groups.
Okay. But I just thought that was pretty ridiculous. Can you guys, was he just like writing it in different languages? Was he sending it to Max, or who is he sending it to?
To Max. Yeah. He thought he was sending it to Job, I think.
Yes. Okay. And then he found out it was Max.
Right.
He was just trying to get somebody to answer him. So he was sending it across a bunch of networks.
Okay.
You should have got more.
That's one thing that confused me. Then where he picks up the Bible and he reads the Drake Hotel or whatever?
Yes.
That's another part where the movie totally lost me. I'm like, it seems like something important's happening, but I don't know what it is.
Because he mentioned that he was stayed there.
The hotel.
Yeah. I picked up on that, but I'm like, so? He stayed at the hotel and he has a Bible there. What's the big deal with that?
Well, now you're being a little too realistic, because that is actually true to life. Just because he brought a Bible back doesn't mean that he's alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you on that assessment, but I could tell when I was watching the movie, that's where they wanted to take the audience.
Okay.
Yeah,
I guess I was overthinking it, probably, so I'm like, I don't know what you're trying to tell me here. I guess you need to treat me like I'm two, because I don't get
you to. You like to overthink movies. That's what I mean by picking at threads, like you were doing with Olympus Has Fallen. Pick up the thread and the whole thing unravels, and then you make me sing.
No, I wasn't
picking. If you want to destroy my sweater.
Moving on.
Pull this thread.
Did you have any, I talked about your favorite memories. Any other sort of random memories you guys want to talk about before we get to the thing we wish we could forget?
Let's go for it.
Okay. Christy, what's something you wish you could forget about Mission Impossible?
The old guy.
Which one? John Voight?
Yeah, John.
Okay.
John Voight.
I got John Voight's car.
What?
No, I'm just reading. It's from Seinfeld.
Oh.
I'm just reading my notes. Francisco told me to write notes, so I wrote for forget. I wrote this exactly. The old guy. The old guy tricking him. The guy getting stabbed by the elevator. The chick. She seemed too squishy.
Squishy.
Like an octopus, kind of squishy.
Squishy in personality or character, not squishy in actual physicality.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
An octopus is squishy in
personality. No, but I don't know what you mean by what is an example of a squishy character. Don't say the chick.
She doesn't have a backbone.
Olive oil. Oh, she doesn't have a backbone. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Like an octopus.
Which she does, and she was able to play both sides.
Yes, at the very end, you come out and you're like, oh, well, that's cool.
She's devious. That doesn't mean she can hold up under pressure. No one is pressing her. No.
No, she actually flip-flopped at the very end.
Though. Yeah, that's true. I'm being argumentative.
Don't shoot. Oh, now I died.
Yeah, why did he shoot her at the end? I don't get that.
Red uniform.
I think, you know what? I think he just wanted the money. And I think he is actually mad at her that she had slept with Ethan.
But I thought that was the whole point. They talked about it.
But, you know, it's, you know,
and
matters of the heart.
They didn't sleep together. She just sucked his thumb.
You know, okay.
It's implied. See,
yeah, and that's why I was wondering. I was curious what you guys thought about that. Is that the implication?
Movie,
yeah. But here's the thing. I would, in my mind, I would carry it to that level if they were kissing. But just
Did you not see the I'm going to bed moment where he like rubs his lips?
No,
I didn't catch that. But if you watch,
gosh, it was like huge sexual tension in that moment. Jeez,
the
guys.
Full length trailer.
Yes.
There's a scene where they're making out.
Yeah, yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah, I don't think it was in the TV spot that we saw, but
no, but it's in like the full length.
Yeah, trailer. Which totally. I think that's why I was like, is this in here? Did I just miss it?
There was a huge moment where there was like this, all this sexual tension. The sexual tension was throughout the entire movie too.
Sure. I guess. I didn't pick up on it, honestly.
Yeah. Anyway.
Maybe it was me being just confused.
All right, who else had moments they would wish they would forget? Could forget?
Well, okay, so this is... Some I wish I could forget slash in incepted moments.
Yes.
I had an inception moment.
Oh yeah, what was that? Let's go there first.
You asked me to remember my favorites, and the very first thing I thought it was Chimera.
Oh, that's number three. Mm-hmm. Or Mission Impossible, Impossible, Impossible.
What's Chimera? Is that a name of a character?
It's the disease
that Philip Seymour Hoffman's trying to get.
No, that's number two.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah, that's three.
No.
Yeah.
Chimera
two is where Tom Cruise has the long hair and he's riding the motorcycle.
I know because I had that one as well because Dougray Scott was in it and I love Dougray Scott.
Paul, give us, I'm going to check this. Actually, yeah, I'm going to check this. Will you please give us one of your memories?
Because I don't
just
remember three memory. As well as I remember two.
Just
because I
another memory.
Just another
okay.
One.
Well, actually, I had a question just on the whole logistics of things because maybe this is pulling the threads, as Christy put it. But the whole idea of them seeing John Voight alive doesn't mean that he's the mole and Ethan's free to go because they could have been working together. Why did they let him go?
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Oh, they talked it over, I'm sure. Oh, no, it was just him. Oh, how can you prove that? Oh, he died. You know, now if they had shown that they had been recording the audio of the whole time, you know, and they had the video to go with it, then I can see, okay. But they made a point at the beginning when Emilio Estevez gave the girl the glasses and they could see the video, but she said, but I can't hear you.
There's a crap ton of stuff they leave out. Maybe they interviewed him and they all squared it away.
Yeah, you have to take it. But it even though that's like the, you know, the crucial, the climax, the ending point, it did end well in my opinion because you've got the theme song going at the end. You're like, yeah, I'm ready for more.
I'm right.
Speaking of Emilio Estevez, though, and I'm still looking this up, but
I'm right. I can specifically describe it to you.
Look, last night I saw the trailer for one and Mission Impossible 3, not 2, and Philip Seymour Hoffman or whatever was in 3. I don't know.
I'm checking the Chimera.
I am
Chimera
not pot. Arguing that. I am telling you
okay.
Dougray Scott is in number 2. And there's an old guy that Tom Cruise is, and they are trying to get something. And I do believe 99.9% sure his name is Boris, or Boris was in there. And Chimera, and there's another name connected to that, because it is a myth. Or
I'll say she's right.
Yes, I think she is.
All right, it's about time the husband comes around.
Holy, How can someone so impassioned?
Because I so remember there being some disease in the third one
I'm not arguing that there was. Philip Seymour Hoffman was in that one because he was nasty and evil.
But and he had a disease.
I loved the second one so much.
I really loved the third one, actually. I thought it was really intense. But let's move on to my memory I wish I could forget / Inception moment. All right. I need to give you guys a little bit of setup. When I was in high school, I had an aversion to Apple products. What? I actually, if my friends would say they wanted to get like an Apple, I'd like get physically ill.
Like a banana. You're like, no, forget your Apple. I'm getting a banana. Gosh. Forget your Macintosh. Or Granny Smith.
Computer, not fruit.
Okay. I thought like applesauce is my poison.
Well, the seeds do make cyanide, so that follows.
All right.
But beside the point, I really despise Apple. I'm not really sure where that came from, but I'm recording this on an iMac. I very much like Apple. I don't have a problem with Windows, but I prefer Apple. So that's where I was. And I had remembered there being lots of Apple laptops in this movie. And so...
What?
There is one at the very end that Luther's using. Because I was looking for this. I'm like, okay, where's the Apple logo? Where's the Apple logo on all the laptops they're using? But yeah, it was only on one of them. I think I was getting confused with movies like The Saint and Independence Day. Because I actually did a search on movies in this time period around Mission Impossible that had Mac laptops in them to see where is this coming from. And I think it was actually those movies.
Both those movies are good to put on the show.
Yeah, totally. We're planning on doing Independence Day. I had forgotten about The Saint, but definitely a good movie. So that I feel kind of embarrassed that I wish I could forget that that I was like that in high school. And thereby not have this horrible Inception moment now.
Mm-hmm. I think that we all wish we could forget things
in high school.
That we did in high school. Yeah.
Good point. That's true.
I wish I could remember things I did in high school.
I wish I could remember things I did in elementary school.
One other thing that I wanted to mention, and it's kind of along the lines of the whole Apple and technology in general, was I thought it was a little cheesy how in the very beginning and also a little bit later, halfway through the movie when Luther joins the team, first with Emilio Estevez, and he's like, so this does this and this gum does this.
Oh, that was the best. Like, hasta lasagna, don't get any on ya.
Speaking of lasagna, I thought it was just all really cheesy. And
I thought it was great. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I just thought it was trying to be too much like James Bond, and it didn't. I thought it didn't really work.
Okay.
And then with Luther, I think he said something like, "Can you get the 686 processors with the artificial
868s?" Yeah. No, or 686. Yeah.
Because at the time, I think like 486.
Yeah, they were was the popular. Line. Yeah.
And I don't think it ever even went to there. I think we're still on, or I think it's x86 now. So maybe it's just iterations of that, but. I don't know. My friends that work at a large microchip manufacturer near me could let me know. All right. Well, I guess, do you know what time it is, Paul?
Bedtime? Oh, no, it's time for the Retro Rewind review. No, the moment
almost got that. Yeah, it's the moment of truth, also known as the Retro Rewind Roundtable Review. Paul, what do you think about Mission Impossible? Is it a classic or second class? And also, please remind us how you determine what's a classic and second class.
Okay, if a bunch of my peers were over and... we said, okay, let's watch a movie, and they hadn't seen Mission Impossible, I would recommend it, that we watch it, so it would be a classic.
Okay, very cool. Christy, in your opinion, is Mission Impossible a classic or a second class? And how do you determine what's a classic or second class?
I don't know how I determine it.
Whatever she feels like. Gosh.
Thank you, Napoleon.
Eat your taunt. Oh, I don't even know if that's the line.
Well, you know what? I will go ahead and go, and then you can
give us. I just need to know
what. You need to know what I have to say about.
No, classic. There you go, because I owned it on video. I don't know.
Okay, so if it's one you owned.
For this movie.
You're okay. So it varies.
Always.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
I like Paul's. Yeah. I like Paul's definition
of it. If you put it on. Yeah, I'd say, would you still dance around with your girlfriends with the Mission Impossible theme with toy guns?
Yeah.
Okay, well then I'd say it's probably
it. I'd teach Sophia how to do
it. Oh, there you go.
All right, so she likes the song.
I think that it's iconic, some of those moves and the peeling of the face mask and the, and if you watch all the other ones, I mean, and Tom Cruise looks pretty good in that one.
Did you think it was, there was one shot when he was entering the emails for the different languages on Job? I thought that was, it looked like Vanilla Ice. But anyway.
I did not notice that. I did notice his guns, though, when he was scaling the vents with the suction cups.
Yeah. Well, he does his own stunts. So, you know, he's got to keep in shape.
I did think, this is a digression from the review, but I did think it was cool how the suction cups have, like, gone on to be, I don't know if they're in all the movies, but I do remember them from Ghost Protocol when he was going up the building.
Mm-hmm.
So I just
they're a little bit different then, but yeah.
I was just gonna point out they're not
fine, you guys. So really? We have a classic from Paul and a classic from Christy. And for me, so just to let you know, I rate movies as a classic if they're a movie that I think was enjoyable to watch and is a movie that I would want to show me and Christy's daughter when she's old enough. I probably would. Not sure of this until she's maybe preteen, something like that.
If it is rated PG-13.
Okay.
So if society says you have to be 13, then boy.
She'll have to be 16.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's got to be pretty bad.
So that's pretty much my criteria. And if it's like as quotable lines, that's another big one.
What are we going to do, Barnes? Put a man at the airport?
I know that was quotable for you, though. But we're
going to be noble and make bookstores. Sorry, yes. What?
Oh my gosh, Paul, that was awful. Francisco thinks it's hilarious.
I got it. It took me a second.
Oh, wow. It was so bad. It took him a while to process it.
You know what? That's like this movie. It took me a long time to get it, and I still don't get parts of it. And because of that, I didn't really enjoy it.
Oh,
so I'm gonna have to give Mission Impossible the second class rating.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow. Yeah, do it. Do it.
So we have a disputed classic.
That would make Mission Impossible, according to the Retro Rewind podcast, a disputed classic.
I say that's disputed classic. No! Disputed.
On corner.
Nice.
Because you have a hard time processing things that shouldn't be so difficult to process.
Well, that's how I intake movies, and this is my rating.
He doesn't have the 868 computer.
Yeah, or the 686.
Yeah, see, I can't even do it.
Do you want to change your rating based on that?
Me, no.
All right.
Sorry.
I'd give it a shot.
Yeah,
I would.
Curiosity. Did you enjoy any of the other Mission Impossible?
Yes, I love 3. I thought 4 was good. So I'm not down on Mission Impossible as a franchise. This movie lost me a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But it was not a movie for me.
Yeah. All right.
Instead of it, I would suggest watching a movie like. The Saint. I like The Saint or one of the Pierce Brosnan James Bonds. If you want that sort of flavor of movie.
Okay. Or another Mission Impossible movie.
Well, yeah, but we already did this. All right. Thank you both for your reviews. And so if you feel like you like Paul's flavor of movies, definitely go out and check out Mission Impossible. Or if you like Christy's flavor of movies, do the same for her.
I like almost every movie that I see.
Well, I guess we're going to have to move on. Alice, will you please bring up the communication satellites?
ComSat online. Receiving incoming transmission.
All right, we're going to start with feedback, which we only have another comment from Justin Salvato. He just wanted to say that he gave us another shot listening to the podcast, and he thinks we've improved a lot. He doesn't quite agree with our taste in how we review our movies, which is fine, but he's still listening apparently, so thank you, Justin. And we've gotten some more likes on the Facebook page, so thank you everyone who liked our Facebook page. Would encourage you to, if you haven't already, please go to facebook.com/retrorewindpodcast and like our Facebook page. That'd be great. But more so, I would appreciate, I think we all would appreciate, if you reviewed us on iTunes. You could also review us on Stitcher, I think, and Miro. But iTunes ratings and reviews tend to help podcasts reach the most audience. Yes. So we'd love if you'd support their show that way. Or just tell your friends, hey, check out this podcast called the Retro Rewind Podcast. Paul, can you tell us how people could get in touch with you if they'd like to?
You can go to pauljpowers.com and you can find all the social links that I belong to there, and you can contact me there. And you can also find us on the Facebook page for Retro Rewind Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you. Christy, how about you? Where could we find you? Me and Paul know where to find you, but where could our audience find you if they'd like to get in touch with you?
Through you.
Oh, through me. Okay. Do you happen to know the email of the show where they could contact me to get to you?
Nope.
Well, let me tell you. It is feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com. So send an email there. I will get it and disperse it to Paul or Christy or any of our other co-hosts, or just to me also. And you can also leave a comment on the post when it goes up. It's retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP10, the number 1 and the number 0. So I want to thank you, Paul, so much for being on the show as always.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Christy, thank you for coming on the show again and pretty much cementing your lead for most sequential co-hosts. No, that's not the right word. But most times co-hosting the Retro Rewind Podcast.
Yep.
And thank you, the listener, thank you, listeners. Yeah, just the one listener.
Oh, no. I thought it was an honorary title. Yes, I am the listener. I didn't take it as I'm the only listener.
Thank you, listeners, for listening to the Retro Rewind Podcast. We really appreciate you for downloading, for subscribing, for leaving comments. It's so awesome to hear from you guys and to know that you're out there listening and enjoying these old movies with us. Next time on the podcast, Paul, do you want to share what we're going to be doing?
I'm sorry. we are going to be retro rewinding back to Super Mario Kart from the original Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yes. And we are going to be doing it in a quite different way than we did Mega Man X. We are actually going to, while we're discussing during the roundtable, while we're discussing the game, we're going to be actually live playing it. Not live. We aren't going to be like streaming it live, but we'll be playing it as we're recording. And so if the whole episode is a flop, we will actually end up, you will be listening to the dulcet tones of me and Christy once more for a prototype episode that we did on The Fifth Element. So you'll either be listening for in episode 11 to The Fifth Element or Super Mario Kart. So you'll have to come back and see to see which one it is. Except you won't be seeing it. You'll be listening to it.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Christy. Thank you, listener.
Thank you, Francisco.
Oh, you're welcome. And we will
catch you later.
That's all right.
Retro Rewind. Central Rewind mission complete. Proceed to Nakpoint Omega and return to base.